Oh, Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word that shows us how to create faith in us. And Lord, we thank you for the things that you have taught us to walk in and to confess before men, the things that are supernatural with the eyes, but it's just a natural thing with your people. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have a natural walk with you. We have a supernatural walk with you, Lord, because you're teaching us how to do that walk, because of the things that are coming up ahead for us, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for a humble spirit in everybody here. And Lord, because the humble and the weak are the ones that gets to watch and to see the things that you're going to do in the days ahead. And I praise you, Father, for placing in us boldness to speak and declare and decree the things that you want us to do in the days ahead. Lord, it looks like there's a lot of things happening across the world, a lot of things all over the world, and basically things that are not good. But Father, I know that you have a reason for this, and that reason is to bring down the apostate churches and to bring out your people from them. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. There's a lot of people waiting on the rapture, Lord. But you've already showed them in your word. The rapture's coming, but not anytime soon. And we praise you for that, Father, because we know that during this time that they think that they're going to be raptured out of here, they're going to come to the great true knowledge of the gospel, the true gospel. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching us the true gospel so we can give it to them in the days ahead. I praise you, Father, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. Speak through us the things that you'd have us to speak, Lord. And I thank you for this open heaven you've given us. And I thank you for all the miracles that's going to happen and the testimonies and the praise reports that come back to us, showing us that you hear every prayer that we speak as a group here, as a part of the body. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request tonight? I got one. I'm just going to pray and I'm going to ask y'all to believe with me. Lord, I thank you for bringing this man-child ministry to the forefront in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have already prepared them, and they're waiting in the wings, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that supernatural visit to the throne. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to see it very, very soon. And I'm thanking you, Father, for doing that, because we need the man-child ministry with his wisdom, his power, and all of his attributes that you're going to give it, just like your son Jesus. And Father, we look in waited anticipation for this great and wonderful anointing that you're going to place on the man-child ministry. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for bringing him home now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all agree? Glory to God, glory to God. Man, child, you come forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Yes, Missy.
When I got home today, Merle was telling me that his niece that I told you about that had four jabs, she has lung cancer, and she mentioned something about the liver, and I think it's in her liver too. And apparently they found something in her brain. I don't know if they know what it is or whatever, but Father, I just ask you for your mercy and grace.
Amen.
For Diane, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that she not leave this earth, Lord, until you're done with her, Lord, until she's absolutely ready to go. And Lord, I know there's a lot of people, Lord, that you're going to take with you early, because you know that they're not going to be able to make the things that are coming. And Lord, I ask you, I know she's gotten prayed for through her church and all, and anointed with oil and all. And Lord, I just ask you that you give her a miracle and you heal her, and that she knows that it was you and nothing that doctors could do, because once they start all those treatments, those things are worse, bad for you, and your quality of life after that is the pits, you know. And so Father, and not only that, lots of times it'll kill you faster. So in the name of Jesus, I just speak healing. I say be healed in the name of Jesus, and be gone cancer out of every place in her body in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your glory and your honor and your praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. By your stripes, she is healed. And I thank you, Lord, that your blood is upon her in Jesus' name. This would be such an awesome testimony to all Merle's family. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I ask you, Lord, to give her the faith, if she doesn't have it, to believe that you would do that, Lord. I don't know exactly where her faith is, but I ask you to show her in your word and help her to have that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for this lady. Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Also, nephew, he calls him his brother because he lived with him when he was a kid from little. Gary, he has a aortic aneurysm, and at first they were saying that it wasn't bad enough for them to operate on it yet, but I think there's talk now, and I really don't think he's saved. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, that Gary would repent and believe in you, Lord, and be healed in the name of Jesus. Bring him salvation, Lord. Use this to turn him to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then Merle's brother Dale went to the hospital the other day. He doesn't know what that's all about. I think he was said to have had cancer a while back, and his state of salvation, I'm not sure, is very clear either. So Lord, all these ones, Lord, I just for his brother Dale, that he be granted salvation to you, Lord, and that none of them that I've prayed for here would leave this earth until they are ready, repentant, and believing in you, Lord, and that they will go with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, grant repentance to all of them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Bring them in. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How about a testimony or a praise report? I got a praise report. Ooh. I got you. We have had here a unprecedented invasion centipedes. I know y'all were waiting with bated breath. Millipedes, yeah, excuse me. Thank you, Missy. Millipedes. That's a little bug about that long. It's got a million legs on it, I guess. That's what they call it. And we walked outside. David hollered at me. He said, come here. And I went down there. He said, look at this. On the floor in the living room, there's just three or four, five, six, seven. I said, what is that? He said, I think it's a centipede. So we looked it up, and it was a millipede. So we went outside. And on the side of the house were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these little boogers all over the house. And I said, my gracious. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. What are you going to do? What we did, we both grabbed some. I grabbed the hose and went to washing them off. He went on the other side of the house and started doing the other thing. And I said, well, I wonder if that's going to kill them or just move them to another place. So we got some stuff. I'm not going to, anyway, we got some stuff and put it on the ground. And so we just, okay, that's it. That's good, you know. So we went back in the house. Man, I'm vacuuming these things up, falling out of the register up here. You know, I said, good gracious sakes alive, what in the world? You beast. So we both decided we're just going to have to pray for these bad boys. We just knew that we was under an attack with these millipedes. You know, has anybody ever been under attack with a millipede before? I ain't never in my whole life ever been attacked by a millipede. We was under attack by millipedes. And so we prayed. And we prayed. But anyway, just to make a long story short, maybe, we took a, Brandy came over. He said, well, we can do this or we can do that or we can do this, you know. I'm thinking, well, we prayed. I guess we can just wait on that and see it. But we saw some more. We saw some more. You know how you get when you get endurance in your faith, you're enduring in your faith. Lord, test to see if you're going to believe. And we decided to let Brandy go ahead and throw a couple of bombs underneath the house. They like damp, dark places. Now that, I guess, are damp places or something like that. Brandy was telling us he likes to read up on that stuff. I care less. But anyway, he throwed a couple of bombs under there and said, y'all got to leave the house for 4 hours. Well, this is when I do my getting ready for tomorrow stuff. And I said, okay, let's go. So me and David went out. We had us a good time for 4 hours getting away from the house, you know, and came back. And I came up here and it was okay. Everything was fine. They could, anyway, he threw it under the house. It's not going to come up in the house, but just in case, gave us an excuse to get out of the house, you understand? So anyway, he called at me a little bit later on as I was up here. He said, come here, I'll show you something. And I went outside. We went outside and we walked along the edge of the house. Now, these little millipedes were just stacked on top of one another, all around the house, all around the house. Now, the bomb was under the house. You understand? It was under the house. It wasn't on the outside. What had happened, God had killed all of them around the house. There was not maybe one or two that we saw alive still on that thing. So God did a miracle in amongst our stupidity of not believing for under the house. You know what I'm saying? That's the end of story. Millipedes are dead. We're alive. Praise God. We won again. Thank you, Jesus. We had the victory. I'm telling you, that was the strangest thing to see all those many things, creepy, crawly, yeah, things crawling all over your walls on the outside, you know. So look at this. But anyway, the Lord took care of it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead, Ray and Jim. You must unmute. We haven't. That's better.
Can you hear me? I think you have it on mute now.
No, good.
Oh.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. So Ray and I have a praise report. Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, our grandson came down with COVID. He's going to be 5 the end of September. And then by Tuesday, John, our son, our daughter-in-law, Liv, and Ellie, our granddaughter, she's only a year old, they all tested positive for COVID. And by Tuesday night, we got a text from our son saying that he had flu-like symptoms. So the thing is this, our daughter-in-law has gotten the COVID shots to the point she even had the booster shot. Our son didn't get any shots. So I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? It's just going to be more confusion if you have people getting sick with COVID, those that got the COVID vaccinations and those that didn't. It just doesn't give the answers that I would hope the people would get. So Ray and I prayed, okay, we're asking for John to be healed. 1, 2, 3, that they're going to recognize that this is the Lord, because he didn't get a COVID shot and our daughter-in-law did. She did a whole bit. And we don't hear from our son, and it's Wednesday night. And then Thursday came about, we were on Zoom with everybody, and it made me think and ponder even more. And I was thinking, you know, Ray, it's not a question of faith. Our faith is there, but John is still sick. Nothing is different. We're not even hearing from them. So bottom line is, Friday morning, the thought came to me. I don't normally pray with the thought, you know, okay, because I said this prayer, it's going to be done automatically. I'm more reserved. This is just my way of doing it. Unless I get a word of knowledge, that's a different story. That doesn't happen too often for me. Or what happened was, I didn't get a word of knowledge, but I was pondering what was going on and all the confusion out there. So Ray and I got bold in our prayer. And what we said on Friday morning is that we were making a proclamation that the fever was going to break off of John. And we text him that morning, early in the morning. And within a very short period of time, he wrote back that the fever broke. And you could tell by the little bit he wrote that I truly believe our prayer was to give glory to God, that his heart is opening up more, that prayers are being answered in God's will. But the bottom line is, he called on Saturday, and this was kind of amusing to me, and he sounded fantastic. And then I asked where Eli, our grandson, was, and he goes with me. He goes, everybody's with me. I didn't know. I thought we were having a private conversation, because he said to me, Mom, I know that how you feel about the COVID vaccination. He says, but you know, I'm really glad that Liv got it, because I was so sick that I wouldn't be able to help out in taking care of the kids, because Liv got sick, but not to the degree apparently John did. He was running 103 fever Thursday night. We didn't know what his temperature was. We weren't getting that kind of input. They're not complainers, and they don't like to dwell on things that are not very positive. So the fact that Friday morning, we wrote out that proclamation that we had never done with him before was quite exciting, that it was answered so quickly. And to top it off, not knowing that Liv was hearing everything I said. When John made that comment about the COVID vaccination and Liv, I said, John, I'm going to tell you right now, I think of the COVID, so-called COVID vaccination is poison. I said, I keep up with different reports, consequences. And I said, they had vaccinated six-year-old girls and they had come down with these ulcers in their vagina that were very painful. And, you know, and I'm thinking now that I know that Liv was hearing all, and I even said that, and I pray for Liv, and I'm so thankful that she's doing as well as she is. Now, this was all said without me knowing she's hearing everything. And I'm so excited because I get really concerned about our grandchildren, that they, not that my, our son believes in the vaccination personally, that's why he didn't get it, but our daughter-in-law has been gung-ho and her parents are. In fact, they started the whole vaccine, COVID illness infection, because our grandson had gone over there. They live very close by. And it was our daughter-in-law's father, fully vaccinated, that came down with the vaccine, with the COVID. And it transmitted to our grandson and then infected the whole family. So, glory to God. We thank you, Lord. And we just want more people to be aware of the seriousness of the so-called COVID vaccine. Amen.
Amen. It's dangerous. I'll tell you something else. All of the women that were pregnant at the time of their shots, not one of the babies lived. You're not hearing a lot of that. But that's the thing that we heard. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Good to see everybody tonight. Hey, man. Well, great to see y'all. Hey, I was going to ask for a prayer request. Mariana seemed, I don't know what it is, but it's funny you're talking about bugs and all that, you know, millipedes. We don't know what happened, but she got bit by something on her side, and it's grown in a decent size. Yeah, and it swelled up pretty bad and grown to a decent size. Now this has been three or four days now? Yeah. So we cast it down and you know, we've been believing. But I'd like y'all to hook up with us on our faith here. And you know, this thing's gotta go. And it's just gotta be today, and enough's enough. Okay. You know, his word's powerful. And if y'all could send us some prayers of faith, man, I'd really appreciate it. And we're receiving.
Why don't you go ahead and lead us off, Isaac? And then we'll agree with you and pray behind you.
Yes, sir, that'll work. Lord, Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, we cast down these attacks. We cast down these attacks of the enemy. We command to go right now. In Jesus' name, you have no place here. For we are of God. And we have overcome them. And greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And Father, we know your word. And your word says, by his stripes, we were healed. And Lord, that was done. Not only at the cross, but at the foundation. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the trials of faith. But we thank you, Lord, that you come through. And that's that. And I just thank you, Father, that you are an amazing God. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Isaac and Mariana. We believe, Lord, everything that they prayed is coming to pass now. We will not take anything less than complete healing in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray for Isaac, Mariana? Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. I have a note on my phone about bugs. So give me 1 second and I will get there. But if I don't, I can't. There we go. All right. Thank you, Lord, for being perfect in all your ways. And thank you for taking every curse on the tree more than 2,000 years ago. That includes being bitten by something. So I speak to that inflammation, not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I tell that inflammation in Mariana's body to go now in the name of Jesus. That poison is broken up and taken and flushed out of her body by the waters of the living God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for perfect healing, a quick healing, a swift healing. I pray for Isaac and Mariana to walk by faith, not by sight, to put whatever it looks like out of their minds, whatever it feels like out of their minds. Thank you, Lord, for giving them the helmet of salvation. And Father, we know that they will come back later this week and give us a full praise report of something that's not there. Thank you, Lord. Father, I would also like to pray for the body. Seems like there's a bit of some bugs going around, Lord, some spiritual bugs. So I would like to rebuke all scorpions and wasps and hornets that poison from their tail and put people to flight with fear and anxiety. I speak death to the locust spirits who destroy the crops, who have come out of the abyss. Perhaps these are false revivals. Perhaps these are corporate things, but I speak death to them. We are not part of the harvest that is going to be destroyed. Father, I speak death to all worms and caterpillars that seek to devour the fruit from within. Anything that is placed on the people of God, on your elect, that include condemnation, rejection, fear of rejection. These eat up our years because the bondage can be so insidious. But I speak freedom now to the people who are in Christ, who the Son sets free is free indeed, and we will not be eaten from the inside out. Father, I speak death to all the spirits of distraction and irritation. Fly spirits, Lord, that want to defile us, that want to defile our thoughts with faction and negativity. All spiders with venom, Lord, that come from their fangs, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are an elect race. We're running after your heart. We are holy because you are holy and you have chosen us from before the foundation of the world. And nothing, no spirit and no physical thing is going to bring this body harm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everything that she said, I believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It is done, Isaac. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I agree completely with Claire's prayer. That was perfectly on point. Thank you, Father. Because I've definitely been feeling irritated here lately by a lot of different things. And when she prayed that, I was like, whew, thank you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit. So I also, too, just want to ask for prayer, but really you all just believe with me. It's not crazy or anything like that, but it's just one of those things that's like, come on. So our landlord, she's kind of trying to pull something a little funky on us right now, because we'll be moving into the new place and we've been really good tenants. Like, she's told us we've been good tenants, and we've been here for 2 years, and I called her and I gave her plenty of notice when we'd be moving out, and asked her what the expectations are when we leave. And anyways, we've been paying for yard work to be done this whole time, and they haven't really came out more than like 2 or 3 times, and we pay monthly for it. It's included in our rent. And when I asked her that question, she said that she wants, the yard picked up and everything taken care of. And like where we live, you can ask Mariana, there's a lot of shrubbery, like just crazy flowers and just all kinds of just weeds and everything everywhere. So she said that she wanted all that taken care of, and I was like, well, we've been paying for lawn people to come out this whole time. They've only come out 3 times. And she goes, oh, they're fired. She's like, they don't work for me anymore. She goes, so you might want to hire somebody to come out there and do it. And I'm like, well, hold on. I was like, no, that's not how this works. Like, you know, we need our security deposit back because we're going to use that toward our new house, you know, and we've been paying like for that. We can't help that. We didn't know that they were fired. So I don't know. She's trying to play some games right now. And apparently Marissa's mom, she rented through this lady before and she did the exact same thing to her. So I think it's kind of a trick that she's maybe got up her sleeve. But anyways, I rebuke any witchcraft in Jesus' name on us. And, you know, I believe in Jesus' name that the Lord's going to come through because we've been good. We've taken care of this place. We've done yard work when, you know, we didn't have to. Like, we bought a leaf blower and we took care of some stuff. Not all of it, but what we could. So, you know, I'm going to pray for you all to believe with me that we will get our money back that, you know, we're owed at the end. And that she's not going to try to find a reason to keep that because I just feel like she's up to something right now. And, you know, I don't know. So Lord, I just ask that you be with this woman, Father. I don't know what kind of deceitfulness is in her heart, but Lord, if this is something that she's done before, God, I ask that you open her eyes and you show her how this affects people, God, and that this world we live in, Lord, is, it's expensive right now. And, but God, you meet our needs, Lord, and you always come through, Jesus. And we don't need money. We don't need, things of the world, Father, because we have you and you meet our needs. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are going to make this come through, Father, just because we have been faithful in paying rent and taking care of this place. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that it's all going to work out and that we don't need to stress out about it. And God, I just rebuke the spirit of anxiety or stress trying to come over me or Morgan and rob us of our joy, Lord, because I want to continue to grow, Father, and the joy of the Spirit, Lord, through you, Father. I want to have all the joy I could ever have. I rebuke anything trying to take that away. And I just thank you, Jesus, that it's all going to work out. And I thank you, Father, for being with everyone on the ministry. And Lord, just for the prayers that have been prayed. And I just come into agreement. And I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. And I know I'm going to have a testimony out of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. We believe with it, Lord. We thank you for making things right with Geneva and Morgan. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to get every nickel back. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that you put a convicting heart on this lady, that she doesn't do this again to anyone else, that you would draw her in, Lord, grant repentance to her, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that there is no anxiety, stress, or anything else with Geneva and Morgan about this, because you're in charge, Lord. And we praise you for that, in Jesus' name. We believe, Lord, that what we pray is coming to pass. This is coming to pass. They're getting every nickel back. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. It's done. I believe it. And I believe everybody in here believes it. Shake your head, yeah, if you believe it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hey, Debbie, how's it going, girl? You doing okay? Hey,
good, yeah. How are you?
I'm better.
How's everybody? I have a prayer request for my sister's son-in-law, my nephew-in-law, I would guess. he's had cellulitis, pretty bad. Started in his ankle, and then it was into his thigh and went up his groin. And he's been in the hospital for a couple of days. I didn't know he was in the hospital until just a few minutes ago. I asked my sister Becky how he was doing. And she said, I couldn't sleep good last night, but it was really bad. They've been peeling off layers of skin that wasn't gangrene, but looked like it. And so she said she was up during the night since about 3 o'clock, really, really praying for him. And then during the day, it just really started improving. It just started getting better and it stopped going up into his groin, which looked like it was going to go in there. And she mentioned the color changed and it it's all changed. And there's talking about he might go home tomorrow. So that's a praise. Yeah. So, but I wanted to still pray for him, complete healing of this. And his name is Bill. So thank you for your agreement. And Lord, would you come against this cellulitis in Bill, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ? We thank you, Father, for answering prayers, Lord, for him, Lord. And we thank you for their faith and believing in you, and that they would continue, Lord, to trust you, God, that you got this healed all the way, that he, by your stripes, he is healed. So thank you for healing him up, Lord God. And thank you that you will get him home, God, and he will have a testimony of praise to the glory of your name, Lord, for how you have healed him, Lord. It's you that has done this, Lord. We just thank you, Father. We claim his healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that all that cellulitis is gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Bill and bringing him into the kingdom big time. Thank you, Lord, he's going to be on fire for you from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen.
They are Christians, my niece and him, but, you know, it's not they don't believe. So, yes, praise the Lord. Big time. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Did we establish a subject for tonight from last week? Okay. I'm going to pose a question. And I want to hear some answers from what you think. Is it our duty to pray healing, deliverance on God's people and the lost? Now, one at a time. Now, think about what I said, because I've heard some things in this outreach right here that some people may have a wrong thinking.
Can you repeat it, Michael? Is it a
trick? I knew you was going to do that, Missy. I knew you was going to do that. Lord said, watch Missy. She's gonna try to trap me. I said, no, she's not going to do that. No. Yes, I don't mind. I don't mind. Let me just, I've got it recorded. I'll just replay it. Okay. The question is this. Do we, as believers and Christians, Christian believers, pray for other believers and healing and deliverance and for the lost? Yeah, Missy.
Because you said, do we pray, or do you mean should we?
What's the difference? Can you give me the difference in what you said and you asked? I'm just asking because you said the same thing. Do or should? What's the difference? Come on. I'm just asking, Missy. What's the difference?
Well, it's do and should are two different things as far as I'm concerned. Do is okay. Do you actually do it or should you?
Okay, we'll go for should. Okay, I think that's what I said. Do we? I said one time, should we? Yeah, if you should do it. That's what I said. Okay. All right, let's see. Who was first? Julie or Dave? Or Dave, were you first? Go ahead.
Dave was up first.
You said you went first? You know, the other day, and I mentioned this Saturday, I'll mention it here, that I had brought up that my daughter-in-law, we prayed that she would have favor when she was going for the interview for this natural or national, whatever, some kind of history thing in Michigan, some kind of a magazine. And she got favor from the magazine. And within 20 minutes after her interview, they called her back and offered her a job. And I was telling that to people Saturday. And we were, you know, praising the Lord for that, because we prayed about that, asked for God's favor, and he gave favor to her to have that interview, because she came off a bad situation from the Catholic Church, having a position where she was the organist, and things just kind of, you know, went south with the pastor and all that, or their priest. So, and that was a very nice answered prayer. But she's Catholic and we're not, right? She's a Christian in the Catholic sense, and in their understanding of who Christ is, but they're not in the same idea that we're at, right? They're not there. I mean, they have a lot of similarities. We have a lot of things in common, but we're not like you and us praying together. Different, right? And then, but the Lord answered that prayer you know, because, well, he's the Lord, and he's not holding things back away from people because they don't have the same, you know, they're not all under the same umbrella. Yeah, let's put it that way in Christianity. And recently, this week or last week, I can't remember the day, a guy that I know was there, and he's talked about his daughter having recently had a really hard time at the school she was at. She was she did like counseling a little bit, the slower development kids. So she would pull them aside and help them through some familiar things they had. She's some kind of a special ed teacher in a sense, but not special ed, but something right on that, in that end. But she was also, all of a sudden, some other teacher had started taking advantage of not being there and calling in. And all of a sudden, this woman, this guy's daughter, all of a sudden got stuck with doing her job and both jobs at the same time. And there she was. She was almost working two jobs and getting paid one. And the principal put her into that position, saying, well, you have to assume this. And so she did this for a while. And she finally stood up to the principal and said, hey, you know, I can't maintain this anymore. I can't do my job effectively anymore, which I'm not doing. I'm seeing the kids maybe a quarter of the time I'm supposed to be seeing them. And I can't justify this with the state if they ask me, because they're under guidelines what she has to do, and teach her class too, and do both these jobs. And just, I'm being overworked. I really need you to find somebody to help. Well, he didn't like that idea, especially when she said, you know, if they come in and investigate, you're going to be in problems. You're going to have problems with this. So he got somebody else. But then after that, the principal became very hard to get along with and said, anytime you need to pull a student out of class, you got to email me and all this stuff. Well, sometimes she'd forget, and he pulled her in and said, didn't I tell you you're supposed to email me? Well, she got wrote up for that. And then she was supposed to have a meeting with him, and she was 5 minutes late. And she says, well, this is insubordination. She started going through this stuff with her. And finally, they said, well, we're just not going to renew your contract then next year. I want you to let you know. You can either resign now and you'll carry your benefits through the rest of summer, or if I have to let you go, you're just done. So she decided just to resign from her position. And so, you know, she got treated pretty poorly. So we prayed that she would have, and I guess she is going into a another job, you know, putting out job feelers, and she put one out for another school district, and they immediately called her back within a few days and said, so, well, let's pray about that and pray that she has favor and all that stuff. But again, this guy, we're not on the same terms and understanding of Christianity. We've actually come toe-to-toe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, he didn't think I should be speaking in tongues. I shouldn't be saying things. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. But we still pray together. And I pray for favor for that. So here we are. We're praying. And I'm praying by faith, of course, you know, that she's going to get this interview and she's going to have favor. And then, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Jesus. And we're in agreement with this, you know, saying, so we have this dichotomy, I guess, if that's a word or whatever, you know, you get the mix up of Christianity and Christians together praying. But I think the Lord, and I know the Lord, honors prayer. He honors faith. Just because we're not on the same page of understanding the scriptures, he honors our faith coming together and asking for things and believing in him. So I guess I'm going to put that out there, you know. And it's a good thing, too, because he likes to see the body of Christ come together, and then the prayers get answered, and then just pulls them together. Now, in the sense of non-believers, well, yeah, they're not really on the same page we are and some of the things we believe in, you know. But they still want to have the benefits of being a Christian, hearing God answer their prayers. And they believe that God hears them, and that everything else like us, it's just some of the things we say and believe for and understand, they kind of shy away from, or they're got their little sectarian beliefs, and they're not going to separate from them. So I just wanted to share that. So.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Thanks, Dave.
Was your question specific about healing or?
That's what I said, healing and deliverance.
Healing.
Okay. Healing and deliverance.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Michael.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if you understood.
No, that's okay. Clarification, because Dave was talking about some other things there. So I just want to make sure we're, you know. As I have been listening to the teachings and reading and that kind of thing and going with what Jesus did, you know, he's our example. And I know Jesus said that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I know that God's covenant is with the, you know, his people. And, you know, we really don't know who his people are. You know, I think we have to be truly led of the Lord. I believe in household salvation, so I know I can pray for my family, kind of like what Dave was saying, you know, praying for his family and stuff. But when we're out in the wilderness, out in the field, out in the field of the world, right? And we're come across people and you can tell that they need healing or they're in trouble. You still need to be led of the Lord and be seeking him and like, Lord, what about this person? Can I pray for this person? And I think there has to be some kind of agreement about in faith there that they want. And they have a belief that, you know, but then there's other circumstances, like, you know, I haven't been in one, thank the Lord, but, you know, an emergency situation where you can't ask a person, you know, you just got to pray over them. But again, I think it has to be led of the Lord, because the kingdom benefits are for those who believe. And we don't really know who a believer is until you get into some kind of, you know, conversation with the person and get an expression of faith from them. But again, if there's an emergency and you just, we're praying people in, we're praying for people we don't know a lot of times here, and God's God, he's the Savior. So I don't think there's a clear yes or no answer in my understanding of what the gospel is, and it's for all who believe. And we don't know necessarily who those people are. And we have to be led of the Spirit always, I guess, to be,
you know, if we make a mistake, we pray for somebody who's not going to get it. I mean, I don't know. God may heal him, and it might be something that's going to bring him in. So we don't know. That's all I want to say.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Claire.
I recently had two experiences. One was a lady that the Lord literally sent to our house. She had a spirit of suicide on her, and the Lord just showed her in his infinite mercy to come to us. I mean, we're nothing. We're just these folks that live at the end of the street. And she came from meal. We had fellowship, and she went to the bathroom. And during that time that she was in the bathroom, we knew she was having an anxiety attack, and we prayed for her. And Rhianna and I just prayed silently in tongues together. That sounds strange, but you know what I mean. And afterwards we sat down and we were chatting with her, and she was telling us these plans that she has, that the demons have put in her brain. And both of us just had a boldness, and I asked her if I could pray for her, and I laid hands on her. She's not a believer. She doesn't profess any faith. She's seeking, if that means anything. But who am I to judge? Who am I to judge God's plan for her life? But I was led of the Spirit to pray, and we prayed that spirit of suicide off of her and many other things. And she, as I was praying, she's like, oh, and I've got a pain here, and I've got, you know, and we prayed, and she got up, and her whole body was just more relaxed. And she said, oh, she doesn't have that pain. And she texted me the next morning saying she had the best sleep that she's had in a while. And all the glory to God, like, he was gracious beyond measure, just like he has been with every one of us. So I don't think that I'm going to reserve my prayers for the pew sitters, you know, because that's who do I know? How will I know who the sons of God are in this finite situation? And then last, probably about 10 days ago, I took my kids to a pottery lesson, and this little girlie came up. She quite likes Tabby, and she came up, and she's got a few challenges and stuff, and very intense child for a 9-year-old. And she just started talking to Tabby, and then she turned and she realized I was there and I was listening. And she just went into this soliloquy about her sore finger, and she just went on and on. And I was like, okay. And I looked at her. I don't know what her parents believe or anything. And I said to her, can I pray for your finger? Well, you could have told that kid that I was going to buy her a pony. Her whole face lit up. She smiled so brightly. I took her hand. I held it, and I prayed just a simple prayer, just a prayer like we would pray here. No, you know, and I just held her hand and I said, in the name, Lord, I know you love children, and I know you love this little girl, and thank you for healing her finger. She does not have to be under the curse. And everything changed. She had such a fun day. She was playing with the clay, you know, before she didn't want to touch it. I mean, why wouldn't we? If you're led of the Spirit and you love the Lord, and sometimes I mess up, you know, I'm maybe hear an inkling and I don't step out in faith. Maybe I'm a bit scared or I'm in a rush or something, but I do believe that if we are living that way, if we're led by the Spirit, then we are sons of God. And if we are sons of God, we will do what the Son of God did. And he healed all who came to him. We don't know that all those people in the Bible retained their healing or their faith for that matter. That we'll learn one day. So bless those that we are called to pray for. And Father, bless us to pray more for people. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let me read something to you. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. It didn't say going out there and choose and pick, did it? No, that's Jesus talking. It's in red. Then he says this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't say believers. But as Clara was talking about, Julie was talking about also, you don't know who you're talking to when you're praying for somebody. You don't know if they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to cut it off right there for the time being, and then we'll come back to it. Go ahead. I don't know who was first. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was looking at 2 Timothy. I remember there was recalled a verse there was where about Paul said to pray for everybody. So 2 Timothy 2:1 is, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence.
What was that reference?
2 Timothy 2:1. So, you know, our prayers or supplication could be, those intercessions can be for healing for all men. So that's what he says here. So just wanted to share that.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Barry or Marilyn.
It's Mrs. Barry. I was thinking of Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he healed everybody that came to him. And I was also thinking about, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And if I err, I want to err on the side of grace and mercy.
Amen.
Because mercy triumphs over judgment. That's Amen. All.
Okay. That's good, Marilyn. Thank you so much. I can tell you from my own experience. Here's what I have seen with my eyes. I have prayed for people that were unbelievers. God healed them. They came to Christ, and everybody saw the healing came to Christ and got healed or delivered or whatever it was, whatever the situation was. In my estimation, and I have to qualify this, I went downstairs and I sat there and I talked with Dave for a while about it, because I'd heard some people say that, well, Dave said that you have to be this or you have to be that before you can get healed. The only thing that requires healing is faith. From one somebody. Okay. All right. Now, having said that, I'm going to go ahead and go to Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Dave was ahead of me.
Who was that, Dave?
Yeah.
Now go ahead. I've already got you. I'll get Dave in a minute.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. I kind of like, I'm reticent to say something because you were midway through something, but I have been pondering this as you've spoken, you know, as you posed the question.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm, you know, Jesus did heal all those who came to him, but it was all those who came to him. So there's this modicum faith somewhere, you know, or the paralytic on the mat, it was his friend's faith, as you just mentioned. In recent times, I've learnt, even though, you know, the Lord gives us an authority, it's certainly respectful to ask the Lord for permission to use his authority rather than just chuck it out willy-nilly. Because, you know, I can tend to, you know, oh, look what I can do sort of psyche, and I don't want to do that. And I know there are times when the Lord said, no, I don't want you to pray the way this person wants you to pray. That said, I mean, that's getting all broad and general. You know, I was thinking of the the Syrophoenician woman, who Jesus had a really interesting discourse with her. And she had really intelligent replies back, given that she was a Syrophoenician woman, of like the dogs get the crumbs, you know. She was really wise not to take offense. And of course, she got, what she was seeking.
There was something in that, though, Greg.
Well, there's probably a million things in that, I would have to say.
But, the main thing is if she had faith.
Yes, no, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, she could have taken offense to the whole dog thing. She was smart enough not to and go, well, even the dogs get a crumb. And in a sense, I'm not sure Jesus wasn't trying to do this, but Jesus was like, he was in a corner, so to speak, stymied. But anyway, I don't mean to say that she trapped him. I'd have to agree that, even for those who are outside the faith, and I'm not quite sure how to define that in Scripture in terms of the Gospels, because, how many of those in the villages of Capernaum or in, all those places that Jesus went to were, because you used the word, do we pray for the lost, which I assume means those outside the kingdom at this point of time. Well, folks, we were all outside the kingdom at some point of time. And that's I don't doubt one bit that someone prayed for us. Mm-hmm. Do we exercise that healing or deliverance power? Yeah, we do. I'd have to say we do. Proverbs says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. It's in 3:27, if I didn't say that. So, and the Lord brings situations, like, for example, the one that Claire described. This little girl was in front of her with a, my finger, now, Claire, you might have to explain to some people what a soliloquy is, but there's situations, and the question was posed, can I pray for you? Which, can I beseech the Father on your behalf? Which we can do. We can go before the throne. I'm going to have to just give them an answer of yes to that question. I don't know if I should say accept, but I'm just wary that sometimes, darker forces behind people will sometimes want to subvert the authority we have and do it to believers unknowingly. And that's the only thing I would suggest just be cautious of that authority being used. I mean, sometimes I've had people, oh, can you agree with me in prayer, blah, 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 blah. And people jump and go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, oh, hang on a sec, because the Lord said when two or more agree, I'll do it for you. And if we're agreeing for something that is not quite his will, then he's put in between a rock and a hard place. Now, he can sort that out, and there's got to be room to manoeuvre for people who are not yet mature. Anyway, that's probably going a little bit too deep, or too detailed. But as the word says, to whom it is due. So I would have to go on the affirmative side of the question there, Michael.
Yeah. Well. Remember what I read, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And then he says, he qualifies. They are the ones that qualify. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And also, I will tell you this, I've just made a survey of the Acts, and most of the people that were healed in the book of Acts, which is the new covenant, okay, most of them were lost. Okay, go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to read that. I posted it. That's where it answered my question on that, was because when Paul was on Melita, when he they were that's when they got stuck on that island because they had to give up their ship. And it says when he escaped and they came and they knew the island called Melita, and the barbarians showed us no common kindness, for they kindled a fire, and it sounds like they really went out of their way to help them, and received us because of the present rain and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, a viper came out of reason of the heat and fastened himself on his hand. And when barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is the murderer, whom, though he has escaped from the sea, yet justice has not suffered him to live. So and they thought, well, there he is. He's getting his just due, sir. However, he shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm. But they expected he would have swollen or fallen dead suddenly. But when they for a long time in expectation beheld nothing amiss came to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to chief men of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us for 3 days courteously. And it was so that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laying his hands on him and healed him. So we have these barbarians, Paul's going in and laying hands on and healing. And when this was done, the rest that had diseases in the island came and were cured, who also honored us with many honors when we sailed. They put on board such things as we needed. So here it is, Paul's healing the people on the island. They're called barbarians. They're not believers. And he's returning a nice, he's doing what he can do, in return for the favor they gave him. No, I'm sure he left an impression. I bet if we go back to Silent today, there's Christians there.
Yeah, well, Jesus told me, he said, those that bless you will be blessed. And that's what happened. Amen. All right, Ray and Jim.
Ray and I definitely pray for the lost, but by the unction of the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'll even be watching the news and the grievance of the Holy Spirit is so strong that you're just led into prayer. And you know, it's interesting because when you had mentioned healing, the first thing I think about, what comes to mind is a physical healing. But, often it could be an emotional healing that somebody needs before they can come into faith. If they've gone through some horrendous times and don't know why, been victims, it's just harder for them to become believers at times. So, yes, I think it's very important that we pray as the Lord directs us.
Amen. That's why we pray for them, is to open up that door for them, so that they can, that's what granting repentance is all about. We know, just like you said, I had somebody praying for me. Y'all had somebody. You didn't just walk into the kingdom by yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that. The Lord already told us that he's the one that grants repentance. Well, how does he do it? He utilizes us to pray for somebody. We're the body, we're the mouthpiece for him. Okay, anyone else? What happens, what I've seen in reality is this, and I can tell you about Reinhard Bonnke too, and John Lake, and all, and many other ones, and I'm not trying to compare myself with any of them by any stretch of the imagination. But when you got a group of people together and they're watching you, they're watching to see what God's going to do, and he does it, they're coming to Jesus. That's what the signs and wonders that follow those of his disciples is going to happen during this revival. They're going to see God work the mighty miracles. He's what Jesus tell us. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater works you're going to do. Well, we're going to see the greater works. I just believe that with all my heart. I believe everybody here is going to see it. And to categorize and say that you can't pray for a non-believer and expect results is just not true. You can't put yourself in a law that won't bring people into the kingdom because of your belief, because Jesus prayed for everybody that needed it, even though he tried some of them, you know, like the Syrophoenician woman, the soldier. Yeah, Julie.
But don't, I mean, the lost people have to first hear. I mean, so many people, believe it or not, you probably all know, I don't have to tell you this, but they've never heard of Jesus.
Yeah.
There are people out there who've never heard of Jesus, don't believe in God, don't know anything about salvation, don't really
in
know
America.
Anything. So
in America.
Everywhere. And you know, so what you were saying there is, you know, he sent his disciples out to preach the gospel. You know, people still have to hear something first to want it, you know, and God's got to be working in them. And I totally agree with what everyone's saying. It is, you know, I'm not out there preaching the gospel, you know, I want to live the gospel, you know, I want to live my faith in that. And the only ministry I've been privileged to do for the Lord has been one-on-one, where he's brought me people. Somebody crossed my, you know, it's a God thing. And I always was trying to, you know, listen to Jesus, and it's like, you know, listen to what the Lord's telling me to do. I did a lot of praying for people that I just sat there and prayed for them because I could see that they needed help, but I wasn't prompted. I wasn't moved to like go to them and have a conversation with them. I just knew, you know, they need it, but you know, unless I'm led, you know, I wasn't going to do it. And I know I was, you know, God sees everything. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows your intent, what your desire is to want to help somebody. And sometimes when you see people, you know, where I live, and in the last 10 years of my life, and seeing the things I've seen, the people I've seen, there are people in the condition they're in, homeless and, you know, doing the things they need Jesus. But I wasn't the one that God was going to use, you know, except I know I prayed for them in my heart, in my mind, praying in spirit for them, that kind of thing. So they're everywhere. But, you know, people do, the lost do need to see Jesus. They need to see that witness. And I know that's what God's preparing the man, child, and the bride for right now, you know, to be filled up with the word and filled up with the knowledge and the understanding of, you know, and faith, you know, just in knowing. And we do need to make sure that we're listening to the Lord. I want to be able to pray in faith for somebody, knowing it's like, I'm hearing for Lord, this person's agreeing with me, and I'm going to pray and they're going to get what they're asking for. You know, so I think we all have to be led of the Lord, because every situation and every person is going to be different. And that's what God's getting ready to do. And he's going to bring us people. He's bringing us people now. And you know, it's the believing thing. It's the faith thing. And yeah, I have faith, but if I've got doubt, because I'm hearing, I'm not sure in my heart that I'm hearing, Lord, this person is, you know, closing doors, you know, closing those loopholes, as I've heard, you know, closing those loopholes, maybe getting rid of all the doubt and uncertainty about what am I supposed to be doing. And but most of my praying is for people has been one-on-one, and or just from a distance and praying for somebody, because I wasn't led by the Lord to do anything, you know, directly for them. So because there are people who are on the street, they're in the situation they're in because they're there for the reasons they're there, and God needs to do a work, you know. So help us, Lord, to be listening to you and your voice, and to be discerning, and and just bless the people you bring into our lives.
Amen. Those that believe and are baptized, and those that disbelieve. You know, we have to, we don't know half the time. I don't most of the time when I pray, but here's what I do. I go up there with the faith to believe that when I pray, something's fixing to happen. You have to have that faith. It's actually just, we call it faith, but it's just trust, isn't it? Trust that God's going to back up what he said in his word that he would do for us. Look, I've prayed for people and God didn't do anything for them. I don't dwell on that kind of stuff. If God didn't do it, there's a reason behind it, and I ain't the reason. I don't want to be the reason behind that. But when you do pray for them and people get healed or delivered or whatever it is you're praying for them about, they come into the kingdom in a better way. I prayed for a guy one time, or I asked a guy to pray for him. He's in a trailer house. I think I related this. And I came up to his door and I said, "Man, we pray for you about something." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I've got all kinds of manifestations of something in my house." He said, "The doors open and close, and they flush the toilet, and things fly across the room and everything." And he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. And he said, "You think you can get rid of that?" I said, "There ain't no thinking about it. They're going to leave when we pray." And I said, "But the caveat to that is you come to the Lord or they'll come back seven times stronger." He said, "I tell you what, let's do. Let me pass on that for a while." I said, I can deal with that. Yeah, right out in the open. He wasn't ready. I just don't think I can handle seven times worse than what's going on now. And I ain't ready to give up my beer and my cigarettes yet. I said, "All right, brother, I'm going to pray for you anyway." So, yeah, you run across people like that. You don't, like I said, you don't dwell on it. That's not your business. It's God's business. You pray for them. All right, then, Retta.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. So first, I want to say thank you, and I want to praise God. I've got a testimony. The day that we prayed for my daughter, she was at work, and she said she got a strong urge to pray around about the time that we were praying on Zoom, and she's completely healed. She can eat absolutely anything. She's not reacting. Her feet are completely deflated. Her skin is healed. She's got such joy. It's incredible. But yeah, she's absolutely healed. And it's a testimony how she wouldn't take any medication. She just kept saying, "God's going to heal me." And I was thinking, oh, a month in, you know. But yeah, praise God, because he saw her, he answered her. And yeah, so thank you so much for the prayer. Praise God. And I also wanted to share a little bit on the question, because I'm pretty much the same where either God guides me to someone or someone's referred to me, like by Tracy, or someone asks for prayer directly, one-on-one. And they've been only, I think, a couple of times where it absolutely went cold, and I was trying to pray, and there was nothing, just darkness, absolute darkness. And so I just asked for God's will to be done. But because I knew where I was coming from originally, like, I was very passionate about praying for people, like too much, maybe a bit too keen. And I've had a few warnings about that, and to sort of, pull back a bit, because it still comes down to submission, and I need to desire the shepherd more than I desire the ministry. So that was a good lesson for me. Like it happened at work. I was a mental health nurse, and God didn't want me there. And I kept thinking, oh, but they keep redirecting all the Christian patients to me and stuff, and I'd pray with them and stuff. But I ended up praying for a couple of nurses, and a lot of stuff happened. It was really bad. And I was shown that the whole time I'd been protected, but I was going out of my, I was going out of, almost like out of my protective circle. I don't know how to explain, but I ended up praying for two people that were in a coven. I didn't know that they were in a coven. I had no idea what was going on. And there was such horrible attacks after that. But it was still a lesson to come back and submit to God. And first of all, to my husband, because that used to be a problem. So that was my first lesson, submitting to my husband, you know, and obeying him and submitting and seeking the shepherd more than I sought the ministry. So that was what I wanted to share.
Amen. That was a wise, wise decision. Praise God. Yeah, he wants us to entertain him. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Anretta. That was a great testimony. Thank you, Father, for the complete healing of her daughter. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to talk about? I like what George said. Did y'all see what George said in the chat? He said something. He said, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. That is a good statement. We have to show the love of Christ, don't we? And pray for it often. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew. I was wondering, I picked the call on you anyway. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Sometimes, you know, you can run into some Christians that, well, for instance, when you're going to start discussing with non-believers the Lord, you might get really surprised at some of the questions they ask you. Like, I remember quoting the book of Hebrews to someone, and he thought that book was in the Old Testament. So, my son came up to someone and at his work, and he mentioned the word apostle, and they didn't even know what that was. So be prepared for that kind of stuff too. And that's sort of a hint at where they are and where they stand, you know. So how much did you know when you got saved even, you know? So there could be a bit of a discrepancy there too, you know, as to whether this guy is actually saved or not. So he might not know nothing. He might have just gotten saved a couple of hours ago or a couple of days ago, you know, and didn't have a chance to get into the Word all that much either, you know. So you got to find out who you're talking to too sometimes. That's what I'm saying. So praise God. But on that note too, just to confuse you all, God choreographs everything. He's sovereign over all things.
Amen. Okay. You want to, thank you, Andrew. That's good. Yeah, you got to be ready for those weird questions that they pose to you at times. And if you don't know, tell them, I don't know that, but I'll have to go look it up. Don't try to smoke them. All right. I'll tell you something. When I first came here, I said, I know something, you know. I found out real quick, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know a thing. I had to start from ground zero, come back up. And that's what happens. You know, come strutting in here, think you know something. Then they start asking questions. Let me go check this out. Let me go check that out. Let me go check this out. All right. Anybody else want to answer this question? Yes, Pat.
No, I want to ask a question related to the same thing, because I guess maybe you posed the question, and I think you maybe posed the question because of the various different concepts, the deliverance is the children's bread, etc. And even maybe from the concept that the Lord is going to do something specifically to the church or the house of God first, before this revival hits, I suspect. Is that what you were kind of, the reason you were posing the question?
No, the reason I posed the question is because I've heard some kind of a wishy-washy statements made, you know, not anyone in particular, but that have been coming across the last few weeks, months maybe, and that led me to believe that some people might be under the law about praying for people, lost or not. And to be honest with you, we just read the scriptures that says, go ye into the world. You know, and the world is everybody else. Now, when Jesus said, oh gosh, somebody help me here, when he said, just pray for the people in Israel. Okay, who is Israel now? Who are the Jews now? All of us that are believers. Go into the house of the lost.
Well, I guess somebody's already made the statement that, you know, we were all lost before we were saved.
Yep.
You know? And in a sense, even through this process of discipleship, the Lord is unfolding his word to us in a progressive type of way, not progressive like the Democrats think, but progressive in the sense that we learn something and then later on we're learning something new, etc.
Yep, and that's right.
In that particular thing, we are probably ignorant of the reality of the truth of that specific thing until we are aware of it. And once we're aware of it, now we're believers in that particular truth or whatever. So I guess I'm thinking that I'm agreeing with what everybody is saying, basically. I think that there's an aspect of, you know, and why it's so important to listen to the Lord as he's directing you in any specific situation, because there are certain things that he may want to accomplish in that particular person. In other words, there are some things that the Lord was interactions that he was having with people, he was trying to get them to agree or exercise a certain amount of agreement or faith themselves. And then according to your faith, it is done to you and that sort of thing. But there wasn't a whole lot of faith that Lazarus exercised to be raised from the dead, etc. So there, it kind of depends upon listening to the Lord and what is necessary, you know, what you feel is important in that particular situation. So so that was the only thing I had to say.
Well, that's right. One thing, there's two different ways to approach healing and deliverance. One with the lost, you just do it. And with the believers, you have to teach them what faith is first. A lot of times you have to teach them what faith is, because most of the people in the great big thing called Christianity think that faith is Jesus died on the cross, he resurrected from the dead, he's sitting up there on the right hand of Jesus. I believe that, glory to God, I have faith. Well, that's not what the word says. You have to tell them what faith is. You have to show them what faith is and explain it in a way that they understand it, and then they can grasp it. It's just trust in God. Just simple, but I'm saying you have to say a little bit more than that, but you understand what I'm saying. You have to tell them what faith is, or they don't believe it. You know, well, God made doctors. Where is that? What verse is that? You know, well, that's in 2 Condominium, chapter 13. You know, they can't give you an answer, but you do. You have to explain to them. Hey, George, go ahead, brother. Where'd it go? George, can't hear you. Can't hear you, George. You must be muted on your mic. You're not muted on the Zoom. Internet, or it could be.
Sometimes your volume might be set really low on your mic.
On your microphone, yeah.
And right in Zoom, so you got to check that too sometimes.
Yeah, you have a setting. Just hit your icon down there on your microphone. And in the audio settings down at the bottom. And it'll take you in there, and you can turn your volume up on your microphone. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for turning his volume up. While he's doing that, has anybody else got something they'd like to say? Yeah, Joe. Amen, Julie. We rebuke all witchcraft against our communications. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I agree with everybody. That's fine by me, but just for interest sakes, would you mind explain the difference between Mark 16:15 when he says go into the world to preach the gospel to the creation, and the other one is Matthew 28:19. He says go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Is there a difference between the two?
What was that, Matthew?
28:19.
Okay.
In short, the question is, what would you say is the difference between the two? He says the gospel is repentance, and this baptized for disciples is go and make disciples, because you are a disciple.
Mm-hmm. What was your question? What's the difference between them?
Yeah.
If you read the whole thing in Mark, not much, because you're always trying to make disciples. Mm-hmm. Once they come to the Lord, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them as disciples. to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then Mark says, he says it a little different. He broadens it out a little bit, it looks like to me, doesn't it? But he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Now he's going back to the ones that are saved, okay? And these signs shall accompany them that believe. He's just broadening the discipleship aspect of what Matthew was talking about. Looks like to me, has anybody got something different? I believe, Joe. What do you think?
I agree. I was thought maybe it's a little bit different in the way he says it and specific to the disciples. You can only make disciples. It's discipleship of other one. Other one is preaching the gospel. In other words, repentance. You start from repentance and you go on to the gospels. Disciples. So,
yeah.
I just thought of maybe explain it for everybody else's sake as people are listening. So.
Yeah, I knew what you do. You do that a lot. That's good. That brings up what makes people faint. Okay, who's next? George, did you get it fixed? Can't hear you, brother. You may not have your computer microphone up high enough. Your Zoom is okay, it looks like. Okay.
Did he try going out and coming back in?
No, I don't think he has. There it goes. Missy.
What?
You knocked him off. What'd you do that for? I'm just fooling with you, girl. I like to do that. All right. Okay, is there any questions about praying for people? Any questions at all regarding what we're talking about here? Yeah, Missy. You see what Greg said?
Yes. No. It was just a suggestion to fix his issue.
All right, go ahead.
Maybe you do want to go out and come back in. But anyway. Okay.
You were talking, say something.
I was trying to get my thoughts together, but you were talking earlier that, you know, if you pray for somebody and nothing happens, it's not I forget how you said it. It's not your issue. You don't worry about it and you just go on.
No, that's what I said, but there's a caveat to that too. What the word says is the believer shall be saved, right? And that word saved, of course, means everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that question a little bit. I haven't given that particular question much thought. I do believe that at times we could bust through Well, I have to back it up with scripture and I can't do it right now. So we'll talk about that some other time.
Well, what I was going to say is it really bothers me if I pray for something for someone and nothing happens. Now it doesn't, okay, like, let me give a scenario. I've prayed for my mom. You know, I ask her, you want me to pray for you? So I'll pray pray for her, pray for healing or whatever. And then as, you know, as soon as I get done praying, almost all the time, you get the opposite speaking of, you know, that prayer. She speaks a curse, you know, she speaks negative. She speaks as if she didn't, you know, believe. And I know I've spoken faith to her a lot and all, and it's just that, and it really bugs me. And I'm not saying that I don't want it to sound as a criticism towards my mom. She just doesn't understand.
Too late. Yeah, I understand.
She just doesn't understand. And
let me address what you just asked me a while ago, and I believe this will help you, okay? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you want to talk some more?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I remember a story, and I told this on this outreach one time, about Lake receiving a guy into his office. He was a banker, I believe, and he came in on a crutch. And he told Lake, he said, "I don't believe in healing. I don't want you talking against my Catholic faith or church." And he said a couple of other negative things to him. He said, and then he said, "What can you do for me?" And Lake just got up out of his chair, went over, laid his hand on him, and just talked about natural things, you know. "Well, how's the banking business going? How's this done?" You know, and all this stuff. And had just a pretty nice little conversation with him. And then Lake said, "Well, I've got some business to attend to." He said, "I'll see you later." And the guy said, "Yeah, I do too. I got to go." And he just turned around and walked out without his crutch. And Lake said, when he got down to the end of the hall, he hollered at him. He said, "Hey, do you want this?" And the man turned around and said, "All to hell with it." But he was walking, he was walking out the door completely healed. And the power of God through Lake, while he had his hand on his shoulder, healed him. We're going to see that in the near future with the man child and the bride ministry. It's going to be the power of God through you because of your anybody in here can experience that, and the way to do it, I haven't arrived yet, okay? Don't get any misconceived ideas about me, but I'm striving to do that, and that is get closer to the Lord. Get closer to the Lord. Do all the things that he wants you to do. And the main thing he wants you to do is first thing in the daytime, if you can, is to seek him with all your heart and to learn about the love that God has and that you want to be transferred from him to you. And in the power of God, he says, when we're at our weakest, he's the strongest. And when you realize it ain't you, that it's the Christ in you that's doing everything that he said, then we'll come into that walk like Jesus. Jesus didn't go up there and give some elaborate prayer. He said, "Be healed. Just be healed." And that's what I'm saying is we're gonna see things like Lake experience. Like I'm not trying to put Lake up there with Jesus, but he was doing a lot of great things with his healing ministry. He learned how to get next to the Lord. You know what he said? Somebody asked him one time, said, "Mr. Lake, what is the secret to your power?" and he called it his power. He said, well, it's not my power, it's God's power, but I can tell you what it is. He said, it's praying in tongues, long and loud. Praying in the spirit, long and loud. Because if you know what the word of God says about tongues, praying in the spirit, it builds your faith up. It builds your spiritual man up. It brings the spiritual man over and above the old man. And I believe we're going to see that. I do. Is anybody in here don't believe that? Raise your hand. I just want to see. I'm asking an honest question here because I haven't experienced it, and I want to. Does anybody else want to do that? Experience that closeness with God that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you put your hands to somebody else, they're going to experience. That's like the time that Late prayed for that. The power of God came all over him. He said it felt like a Holy Ghost rain just went through his whole body, and it was electrifying every cell in his body. And he and his friend was over there praying for that rheumatoid arthritis lady was in a wheelchair. She was all bent up and everything. And he said, I was scared to put my hand on her because I was afraid it would blow her brains out. He said, I just put my finger on top of her head. And when I put my finger on top of her head, the guy that was praying had his hands on her knees, flew across the room from the power of God that went out of that lady into him. And that woman was instantly, completely healed by the power of God. Glory to God. Oh, my. God can do anything. He can even use us. You know what I'm saying? He can. He can even use us. Me. Glory to God. Okay, I don't know who had his hands up first, but I'll pick any. I'm not showing favorites here. Go ahead, Greg.
You have chosen wisely.
I was led, brother. I was led.
Well, okay. Well, you know, anyway, the story. You know, when Missy, when you started speaking there, I wanted to jump in there. And if the question's answered, I'll shut up. So just tell me. I won't go away, but I will shut up. But I in my well, you know, just for a little while, Julie, don't get me wrong. sorry. When I was first, I guess, introduced, I suppose, to the concept, well, not, you know, the thing of healing, which in the kind of church background I have, that was over there. That's something we don't do. You know? A very wise lady by the name of Dee, who Anne Redder knows, but I won't go into that. She introduced me, well, you know, she directed me to a particular teaching or group place, you know, and all I saw was a website called the Elijah Challenge. And this man, and I'm not sure who, I forget his name, but I'd have to look it up again. He does what's called healing evangelism. And he will go out, you know, and, you know, probably, you know, to whatever places, and some of it may be third world countries, whatever else, and do this healing to basically show, you know, that people know, you know, experience of, you know, yes, God does love you. Won't go into the details, but, he would often, you know, in following the example, I've done this myself. He'll ask people, you know, like they have a back pain, for example, and he will say, okay, give it a number between 1 and 10. You know, 10, like, you know, you want to lop your own head off, and 0 is it's not there. And they would give it a number, and then he would pray. And I've done this, I'm not saying this to blow my own trumpet, and called the back pain or whatever out, and then ask them, how's it going? And they want to tell a story, but I'll just say, no, just want a number. And it'll go down. right? But then, you know, but that's not good enough, and keep working it down to, you know, basically till it gets to zero. But, you know, I guess this is the point I wanted to make was one, when we pray for people, and, you know, and particularly when it's family, we want the Lord to bring them in, and we want to we want to make sure it happens, right? We want to get the, you know, we'll make sure it happens. And we can't do that. The Lord does that. There's no way in the world we can convince, provoke, whatever, someone into the kingdom. The Lord does that. And if I can lean on a dream I had recently, which I won't explain here, but his timing seems to be really, 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 really important. So, you know, yes, pray for your mother or whatever else, and I pray for my parents, etc. But, you know, the timing of that, and I don't necessarily mean pray in front of them and say, you know, watch what the Lord does. I don't, you know, now come into the kingdom. Because that's kind of, we're a little bit involved with that. And so, you know, look, I would suggest we pray for our families and these people, not necessarily in front of them until the time is right. You know, they are willing or ask for it. And I know another man, you know, who does this as well, will, you know, see if the person has faith, and they often don't. It's just understandable. But he, you know, all he'll ask is, you know, okay, if the Lord does this, are you, you know, you're happy to give him the glory, the honor for that? And if the yes for that, then I'm, you know, good to go. But another thing that this particular guy, the Elijah Challenge guy, would say to people, look, if nothing happens, it's not the Lord. It's there's something to do with me, and they'll take it on themselves. So that, you know, there's, you know, and so that there's not a, oh, the Lord didn't do it kind of thing, because the Lord can do it in a, you know, and you we've seen it from time to time. I know I have, and it sometimes happens through my hands, but, you know, through me. And you look back and think, how did that happen? But yeah, I just want to bring those points. You know, one, the timing. Two, it's never up to us to bring, you know, for the timing to bring people to the Lord and to cement it, because we can't do that. We're just called to do our part, if that helps. I'll shut up now, okay? Won't go away, but I'll shut up.
Well, let me counter that, or not counter that, but comment on what you said. You know, basically what the Lord showed me was, you know, basically what you said, just to see, my mom is a Christian, you know, but the Lord showed me, you know, just to keep praying for her. And, you know, like you're saying, just pray. It doesn't mean you have to pray for that. For her, with her, in front of her. And yeah, that's a, you know, wait for them to ask for prayer or whatever, because, you know, then that's, you know, they're desperate when they ask you, you know, and they really want to believe that God's going to answer them. Because it's like you know, they give you, well, God uses doctors and, you know, and if they're not healed, then, you know, God doesn't do that anymore, you know. Well, and it's just a tough thing. It's a tough battle, you know, and they just don't understand that. They don't understand what faith is, and they don't understand what the Word says. And, sometimes it's really tough when it comes to family, mm-hmm. family, and a family member that's a Christian is worse than one that's not a Christian, that doesn't believe.
I'll tell you something, Missy. I'm gonna interrupt you because we're running out of time. I'll tell you something that I've used before, and it worked. Break the power of Satan off of her. And declare and decree her into the kingdom, and do it often. Break that power off of her, and then watch what happens. I've seen it work pretty quick, fairly quick.
Okay.
Well, and I learned that from Kenneth Hagin.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing for his brother. And 10 days later, he came into the kingdom.
Okay. Well, she is a Christian, but when you say come into the kingdom, you mean like fully believer, a full believer.
What is a believer? A believer is somebody that shows the fruit of Jesus, right?
Right.
Okay, is she a believer?
Not in the sense of believing all of God's word, that's for sure.
Well, then you need to be praying for her.
Yeah, and I do.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think George is ready. Is that enough, Missy?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Go ahead, George. Hey, just man, thinking, we can hear you now.
Praise God. Now, Lord, speak through me. Don't let George speak.
Amen.
Amen. Just thinking about what is our goal and what is God's partnership in this plan of His. And it is not, faith is not the end goal, but love is, and partnering with Him and being yoked with Him and letting Him live through us. And He said, all power, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. He didn't even say we had to pray. I mean, there's different types of prayer and faith for healing. He said, we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's the kind of faith I'm trying to more and more, like you were talking about and some others were talking about, just laying your hands on somebody or getting creative in faith and saying, they're not going to let me touch them, but if I point at them while they're talking, Holy Spirit, you go ahead and apply. And just whatever it takes to get the kingdom of God close enough to somebody to let the Holy Spirit and us open the door. And it's like Missy's talking about how hard it is. Well, hard ground takes a lot of repetitive plowing and nurturing the ground and coming into a covenant with that ground and saying, I'm going to work you and I'm going to feed you and I'm going to provide everything I can for this ground, which is hearts. And I'm going to keep preparing the ground and plowing with goodness and applying peace and mercy and love. When we give our time to people, that is the most precious thing in this universe for people, is for somebody to have somebody appreciate them enough to give them time. So it might not be for us to talk, but it might just for us to give eye contact and stop everything else and just say, it doesn't matter. You're the most important thing right now in the universe to Jesus, and me and Jesus are all ears. And then when you get the opportunity to sow into their life, then the Holy Spirit can take them as far as He wants to take them. And like y'all were saying, sometimes we misspeak and say nothing happened, but I believe that's impossible. Because wherever we go as believers, we are growing in faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And everywhere we go, we are breaking the enemy's kingdom in pieces, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. So if we're just easing the pain and torment while we're giving somebody our time or just sharing space with them, not being revolted by their flesh, like they are self-condemning and revolting in their own eyes. If we're able to bear with them and partake of the suffering of this world with people, then we do our part, whatever that part is. If we have enough of preparedness, like you say, to bring a good word, then we bring a good word. Whatever we can do, everybody's got their part to play, and God is going to mature us and raise us up, and we're going to get to see the fireworks, and we're going to get to see all the wonderful things and the things that if all the books were written, the libraries couldn't hold them. And that's what God, that's what he's excited about. God himself is excited about the times that we're in. You know, he might be doing loops around the arena in heaven on his horse saying, go get them, tigers, go get them, my lions of Judah, my little lions. You know, he's encouraging us. He's singing over us. You know, God is a total encouragement, and you all are a total encouragement to each other, and we know how to encourage ourselves. And we're trained. We have to exercise our senses by use. That means stepping out and being uncomfortable, but letting God cover the spot. And walking in dominion. I don't think we have to overthink beyond dominion that we're given. That we are effective. We don't need to question and argue about whether we're effective or not. We just need to move from effective to more effective to outstanding effective and man-child effective, whatever it's going to be. This time that we're alive, we're going to make our mark as well as we possibly can and encourage others. And I think the love is what drives us to the word, so that we can, because we love him, we obey his commands, and we find out what his commands are by reminding each other and by reading the word. And thank y'all. I love you. God bless.
Amen, George. That's a good word, brother, and I appreciate it. He's right in this, in every aspect of what he's talking about. It's the love of God we're looking for. The love of God. And I just kind of hinted at it, but George brought it out so much better than I did. That we want to get close to God so we can have that love, that heart that he has for us. Yeah, Missy.
You know, George, that's a good reminder, and it's a good confirmation, because the Lord has shown me that. And like my boy's great-grandfather, I'd say for like maybe 6 months before he passed away, I had the opportunity to help take him to doctors and stuff like that. And this was before I was even in faith. But I knew that this particular day was going to be the day that I was going to lead him to the Lord. And the Lord used me to lead him to the Lord because I was showing him love. I don't remember distinctly saying much of anything to him about the Lord or anything like that, but I had the opportunity to just love him and spend time with him and help him out. And that's what the Lord's doing right now with, in particular, my mom and dad. It's so crucifying to deal with them and all their health issues and everything, especially being where I am now, crucifying in that I have to keep my mouth shut and just love them. And I can see my mom, really appreciating, the help and all that I've been giving them. And the Lord's the one that told me to do it. So it's not something I'm going out there and doing, out of good works or whatever, but, loving them and giving to them, showing them the love of the Lord. So yes, it's doing that does not only our prayers, but showing them the love of the Lord in ways that maybe they don't understand or whatever, but just loving them and seeing the Lord's love through you, and that breaks up the hardness of the heart, like you're saying. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Geneva.
Yeah, I'll make it real quick. I just wanted to say thank you, George, for what you said, because that blessed me a lot, especially with my job in hospice. I go and see patients who are really dying all the time, and when I go in there, if they're able to let me pray for them, then I get to pray for them and pray that the Lord blesses them and that he takes away their pain. And, you know, sometimes they're, you know, what we call is like not with capacity, but, you know, basically they're, you know, to the world, they're not there, but, you know, I know they're there. And so, you know, there's no telling what the Lord could be showing them or, you know, whatever's going on. I just sit there and I pray in silence. And it's just a blessing, you know, because what you said, George, because sometimes, you know, they'll tell me how much pain they're in and how terrible it is and, you know, how they want to go and all these things. And, you know, it's like, you know, I want to pray and I want to believe that they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. And, you know, I guess it's just what you said is a blessing in that just me being there with them at all and giving them that time, I think, you know, it speaks a lot. And, you know, for the Lord and for Christ in me, not for me, but like I had a little lady that this was actually last week. I'll tell you all real quick. She was going through a bunch of stuff and everyone kept telling her how terrible anxiety she had and how much pain she was going through. And so I went in there and asked if I could pray for her. And everyone told me she wasn't religious and, you know, she doesn't go that way, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, well, I'm going to ask her anyways. And so I asked her if I could pray for her. And so I sat there and I prayed for her. We prayed for a while and I asked the Lord just comfort her and put his angels around her. And when I got done, she told me how much that meant to her and how thankful she was for that. And so I had a lady come in and play music for her. She played the song "All Fly Away." And we sat, you know, she sat there and she played the song "All Fly Away." Well, wouldn't you know it, that lady passed away the next day. And so it's awesome. Just crazy how, you know, Lord, he knows what he's doing, you know, just us being led by him. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, I appreciate everybody's input tonight. It's actually been real good. And I thank everybody for that. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you draw us closer to you, closer and closer and closer, Father. That's the thing we want more than anything, is your heart be our heart. And we just praise you, Father, that you would place it in us to work to that place. And all we have to do is just seek you and talk to you daily. And Father, we just praise you for all that work that you're doing in each and every one of us, because I know you're growing us up, and you are, just like George was talking about. I can just see you now riding around in the arena, encouraging everybody with a flag of heaven, you know. And that just made a vision for me of what you were doing, Lord, and I thank you for it. Jesus, now, I don't know if you're doing it or not, but I know that you are encouraging us. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering all our prayers tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, everybody.